Live from NPR News, I'm Shay Stevens. Election Day is less than a week away, and more than half the number of people who voted in 2016 have already cast their ballots. Both presidential candidates are using the remaining campaign days to drum up support in the most contested states. President Trump made stops in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nebraska yesterday. Fred Knapp of NET News says Trump touted his administration's support for farmers during a rally in Omaha.
The president appeared in a closely contested congressional district that could give him one electoral vote, and he made a pitch for what his administration has done for farmers in the region. Trump cited estimates Chinese retaliation for his trade policies had cost farmers $28 billion, so he said he imposed tariffs of that amount on Chinese goods and gave it to farmers.
Nobody else is going to do that. In fact, some people say our farmers do better now than they did when they actually had a farm.
Reaction to the subsidies has been mixed, with farmers expressing gratitude for the help, but also saying they'd rather get their income from the market rather than government payments. For NPR News, I'm Fred Knapp in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Joe Biden made two campaign stops yesterday in Georgia. After two decades of being a Republican stronghold, WABE's Emma Hurt reports that polls show the state is now a toss-up.
Biden spoke to people seated in and on several hundred parked cars over the noise of counter-protesters across the street.
If we told you all a year ago, or told those guys out in the street a year ago, how competitive Georgia was going to be, you would have all looked at like one another like you're crazy.
4 years ago, neither President Trump nor Hillary Clinton visited the state after the primary, and Trump has visited three times since the summer. More than just electoral college votes are at stake. Georgia also has two Senate races.
I can't tell you how important it is that we flip the United States Senate. There's no state more consequential than Georgia in that fight.
3 million ballots have already been cast in Georgia, nearly double the total early votes in 2016. For NPR News, I'm Emma Hurt in Atlanta.
In Philadelphia, protests over the police killing of Walter Wallace turned violent for a second straight night. Relatives say they called 911 because Wallace was having a mental health crisis. Family attorney Shaka Johnson says it's baffling that police were dispatched instead of an ambulance.
It's emotionally taxing to think about how you could call for assistance and wind up with the people who you called killing you. I can't even conceive the concept. I just can't.
Police say that Wallace was shot after refusing commands to drop a knife. Louisiana is bracing for the arrival of Hurricane Zeta. Landfall is expected tonight south of New Orleans. The city is still housing evacuees from earlier storms this season. This is NPR News. Wisconsin's governor is urging residents to shelter in place after his state recorded more than 5,200 new coronavirus cases with 64 deaths yesterday. It was another single-day record for Wisconsin. Idaho's governor is reinstating some coronavirus restrictions amid a surge in new cases. NPR's Kirk Siegler reports that many of the state's larger hospitals are already at capacity.
Cases in Idaho are surging again, with COVID-19 hospital admissions increasing by more than 50% in recent days, plus grim warnings from hospital officials that the public and policymakers aren't taking the pandemic seriously enough. Governor Brad Little moved back to a Stage 3 order, which caps gatherings in public to 50 people, but the governor refused to put in place any tougher enforcement measures. Bars will mostly remain open, and unlike in many surrounding states, there's no statewide mask law. In fact, officials in one of the state's most populated metropolitan areas in northern Idaho recently lifted a regional mask ordinance, even as the main hospital there says it's at 99% capacity and could soon have to transfer its COVID patients to Seattle. Kirk Siegler, NPR News, Boise.
Cult leader Keith Raniere has been sentenced to life in prison for sex trafficking, extortion, and other crimes. 60-year-old Raniere is the founder of a New York-based organization called Nexium, which charged thousands of dollars for self-empowerment courses that involved humiliation and obedience. Members of one female-only unit of Nexium were branded with Raniere's initials. Co-conspirators have pleaded guilty to recruiting and grooming sex partners for Raniere. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR.